team. Nice to see you up here, Lil. Enjoy her alto voice. It's so strong and comes through so well. Thank you. Well, bless you for being here. I have some friends that are visiting today, and I welcome you, and I hope you cheer all the way through this message because I need all the support I can get. Some folks that I had the privilege of knowing for a while, and just a blessing that you're here today to encourage me in my journey here. My journey will come to an end here, and I don't want to keep on talking about that because you're looking for the next man, right? And I just want to say, in that search for a pastor, there's no lack of people that would apply for a church. And if for no other appeal, it might be just to live in the Okanagan. And so we have to work through some of those things and find out what kind of person would be the right person for this congregation. And then would this congregation be the right congregation for him? And I've been here to work on that part of it, to help this congregation get to a place where the joy and the love of Christ is so evident that you couldn't help but be drawn to these people. And I think God's doing a good work. I see things that have changed, people whose lives have changed. I see people that used to not get along that well get along. Isn't that something that I'd even mention, something like that, so significant in a church? But it's true. And sometimes people just rub us the wrong way, and so we react to that. And before you know it, the enemy has us right in his hand, and we forget who the enemy of our soul is. So, church, kudos to you. And may we continue to grow in a faith and understanding of Jesus Christ. And as we grow closer to Christ, we grow closer to one another. Amen? Some of you aren't convinced. I'm starting some messages from the Gospel of John. I followed a pattern of my preaching, and now I'm going to follow a little different track than I had set on before, and I'm going to this book because I love how it talks about the importance of Jesus Christ and knowing him and being centered in him. I not so long ago, I had to return some milk to a 2-liter jug of milk to the grocery store because it had gone bad, and the date said that it would be good for a certain date, and the date hadn't even come yet, and already the milk was bad. And have that happen? Yeah, it's kind of annoying. You paid good money on the thing that doesn't last. And so I took it into the counter where you file all your complaints, and she graciously listened to me. And then she went into a long diatribe telling me that the date that's given is if you buy the milk, purchase the milk, and then put it in your refrigerator and keep it cool, that it would last that long. So really, it probably would have done that. Well, why would I buy milk to put it in the fridge to last for whatever date it was, at least 2 weeks, and never open it? Didn't make any sense to me, but I listened to her explain things to me about the expiry date. And so I'm so much more knowledgeable about that topic. And I walked away, shook my head, and I never forgot it. A real educational talk on the expiry date. The message today is the expiration date. And where all kinds of things in this life and in this world will have an expiry date when they are no more. All of us here this morning have an expiry date. It's a good thing we don't know it ahead of time, or we'd start digging into making life a little bit longer. And certainly there is that sort of thing out there that people have found ways of prolonging their life. In fact, they even freeze bodies when they die, thinking that they can bring them back to life later and so forth. Amazing what we'll do. I'm all for health and wellness, by the way. As we deteriorate in age, and I'm there myself, you realize that I have an expiry date on even the physical abilities that I have in my life. And there's certain things I probably should eat, and there's probably a lot of things that I shouldn't eat, but I just love food so much. Anybody recognize that as being an issue for you? And so it is like all of these things tell us that this life here is very temporal. And we can't extend our lives beyond the date. And even if we have a good measure of health and live to be, and here I have a mother-in-law that's coming up to 103, I can tell you the quality of life just isn't there any longer. And her prayer is, Lord, take me home. And that's a good prayer to pray when you know your Heavenly Father. So John, I'm going to give you a little background as I talk from 1 John, and we'll be reading that passage here in just a bit. Let me give you some background. This is one of the four Gospels that has eyewitness accounts of the life of Christ. The book is written around the year 50 AD, and he's known as John the Beloved. And you know, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ, but he also wrote 1, 2, and 3 John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then he wrote the book of Revelation as well as the Gospel of John. And what I love about the Gospel of John, it has so much theology in it, especially about living life with purpose. Now, all of us can have reminders along the way what our purpose in life is, and forever keeping the expiry date in view. So it's full of theology and written that for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. And we need encouragement in our faith walk with Christ. And so he says, the purpose in John, it says in John 20, verse 31, is this: "These accounts are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And there's the key. It's life in his name. It's not just putting in time, but believing in Christ leads to life. "I have come that you might have life and to have it more abundantly." And that is found, the abundance of life is not found in the accumulation of things or our bank accounts. It's found in the quality of life by giving our lives to Jesus Christ. And so there are two primary focuses in this book. And here they are. If you want to take notes, go ahead and do that. You might remember some of the things I'm going to say. And I'll be building on them from week to week. The focus, there's two of them primary focuses in the Gospel of John. The first one is evangelism, reaching out to the unsaved, because that's what our purpose is for in living for God, to bring him the glory that he deserves. And then the second purpose of this book is spiritual maturity. Well, I think both those meet needs that I have, and I believe that you would have as well. And he starts in this letter by establishing credibility with his audience. Most speakers, when you take homiletics course or you take Toastmasters Club or something like that, in the way of giving public address, you find out that what's very important, the first thing in public communication, is know your audience. Know your audience. You may not know them all personally, but when you're ministering to a bunch of gray heads, know that there's going to be a difference between that and talking to a bunch of youth, right? You get the idea. I'm not picking on you. Okay. Know your audience and what it is that they need. And so John is writing to an audience that he understands what their needs would be, and he wants them to be encouraged by this letter. So again, a letter of encouragement. The key thoughts in this foundational book for establishing who Jesus is. And he establishes the fact that Jesus was present with God from the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. JWs love to say, "Ah, God," and then you realize how important every word that you read in God's Word is, so vitally important. Change one little word and you change the whole meaning. He wasn't just a God, he was the God. And so, three important words that I want to look at today from this passage of Scripture that we find in John 1, 1 to 18. We're going to put it up for you. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Three very important words. See if you can pick them out as we go through it. These words that have such deep meaning that are the key to understanding the theology in this book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place. We have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only God, who is himself God and is in his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Three words that I want to draw out of this passage. The first one is the word, word. And you notice that it is capitalized here in this text. And there are two words in the Greek for the word, one. There's two words in the Greek for the word, word. And one is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which means a spoken language. A spoken language. The other word for word is logos. Maybe some of you have heard that. And it's a living word. And in the Greek, word capitalized becomes a noun. And that noun then has a different significance of meaning, the living word. And it means personal manifestation of all the whole divine nature of God. So one word capitalized, understanding the original language of it, knowing that there are two meanings for it, now we have to have the right meaning for it. Now imagine the audience here as he has prepared and he knows his audience and he's talking to them and he uses this term word. There would be Jews, there would be those of Greek persuasion as well. And so there are the Gentiles as they're called. But for the Greek, the nature of God was revealed to people through rational thinking. Rational thinking, through the mind, through understanding, through knowledge. Knowledge became, gnosis became like God to the Greeks. The more knowledge you had, the greater credibility you had, and the closer connection you had with the one who had the greatest of all knowledge. And to the Greeks, human understanding was a God. So if you can't comprehend it with your mind, if you can't see it with your eyes, if you can't feel it with your touch, chances are it's not real. Where does that leave faith? That's an easy kind of thing that can creep into our churches today as well. Looking for a sign before we believe. If I can't comprehend it in my mind, then it can't be true. I'm not saying that it's not good to have knowledge, because the Bible talks about study and the reason for understanding the Word of God, the reason that we have within us to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. Are you a good Bible student? Good for you. I know many people that would be able to quote verses in the Bible at length. Great understanding of memorization, at least they grew up with it as a kid, and they still remember the words, and they can quote the words, and then you find out that they are nowhere close in their relationship with Almighty God. Have you met people like that? My Bible tells me that your word, your logos, have I hidden in my heart. Finish it with me, that I may not against you. Where does knowledge fit into all of that? And I'm not saying, folks, that we shouldn't study. I believe just the opposite. I believe that today we need to be students of God's word. I believe we encourage one another. I love our time of Bible study here at this church. It does me good to hear from you and to go through scriptures and unfold it. In the Greek mind, the nature of God was revealed. and rational thinking. And you know, that kind of thinking hasn't been put aside. There are some today that would claim to be atheists. I appreciated Brian Unruh's response in the newspaper. I appreciated also the response that was given to Brian Unruh's article in the newspaper. Because I expect people that aren't born again of the Spirit of God to write exactly what that man wrote. And you will be set aside for your opinions when you start quoting Scripture. Have an answer for the hope that lies within you. So the supernatural force behind the thoughts that made it credible for human understanding in the Greek's mind came all through knowledge. And so to become like God is only to increase your knowledge. Human reasoning, thinking that the ultimate goal of the Greek philosopher and teacher was to gain knowledge, teach knowledge, and thereby have entrance into God. So today, that kind of thinking is still in our institutes today, and I found this interesting let me just say this. I've given up trying to explain the supernatural. I can't explain miracles. Yet people, I hear people use that word all the time. I hear people that aren't even followers of Jesus Christ saying, oh, that's a real miracle, you know. Well, I thought you didn't believe in miracles. Something that's out of the ordinary, just not by natural means, is something extraordinary from Almighty God. And the supernaturalness of life, and people use that word wide openly. And you know, I don't know how God's mind works in these things, why he would heal one and not the other. Why he had hardened a king's heart and softened another's. But I know that the giver of all knowledge, and the one who created me, has a purpose. And I have to remind myself of passages like, you are just man. You're not going to know it all. Jars of clay, we're called. So here we have this knowledge and human reasoning, and it has its place in discovering truth. But here's the key. When knowledge and human reasoning dismiss faith, it becomes an attack on God. Now, there's been studies done on some of these things regarding our youth today after they graduate from high school. And Focus on the Family has done a study, and they said 90% of young people from Christian homes reject their faith after graduation from high school. Now, you can say, why is that? Oh, it must be the secular school system. Now, I'm not a champion of the secular school system, but I see it as a great opportunity to reach people. Where does salt and light shine the brightest and hardest and have its greatest flavor? It's in these dark places. Right? Does the church believe that we need to segregate in order to be separate? My mother used to have her favorite verse, you know, wasn't she championed it all the time? Be ye separate and come out from among them. Oh, I heard that growing up often, and then I didn't know what that meant. Does that mean that we can't go swimming on Sunday? Okay, then we will be separate and not. It seemed to me being separate and coming out from among them was against everything that I would have considered fun. And somehow that idea made us better followers of Jesus Christ. Well, there is a place to be separate and coming out from among them, but there's also a place for let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So here in this study, they have said, they have based it on the studies that they've done, Focus on the Family after high school, and what's the reasons for it. Secular education can be some things, because higher learning institutions, they'll warp your child's mind. And in fact, I know that my son, when he went to university to become a teacher, they often would pick on him because of his faith. Becomes a target to shoot at. Or you can blame the church for not educating children. There just isn't enough programs for children in the church today. Or my child went to youth group and no one there liked him, so he left the youth group and he's not living for God, so blame the church. Have you heard those crazy stories? The rationale we put to that? Well, then you can blame your family. There's a good one. And maybe that's the fact is that there is a great influence, or should be a great influence in the family. I think we're all agreed. I believe that mom and dad have the greatest influence on the children, more than the school, more than the teacher, and even more than the church. Do you agree? So then wouldn't it make sense that we would be a family church? That we would preach the importance of having good marriages and staying together? You can nod your head if you're in agreement. Wouldn't it make sense that Faith Baptist Church needs to be a church for the entire family? And I tell you, as a senior citizen and a grandpa, the impact that I have on my children to this day is still there. Our grandson came home yesterday. We had him in the home last night, and he came in the living room, and he said, "Oh, I love being here." He looks around the living room and he says, "I love being here." And I said, "That's because it's a safe place." Is your home a safe place for your grandkids, for your children, where God is honored, where the things that you've taught them and passed on through your children onto your grandchildren are still kept and are a high priority? And then I ask myself, and what role do I have in that as a shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ within the church? And that's where it needs to be. And I believe today that some of the religions that are out there that focus on the family, and it's not just left for focus on the family, it's for every Christian, but I believe that's why the Mormon faith has taken off the way it has. So we're following a Greek philosophy of higher education that is leading us away from God. But the Jews, that was the other part of the congregation, know your crowd. Here you have Jews, on the other hand, and they had their own teaching on what the word meant. They used another name for God. And you know, it's kind of clever that John would use the term because he realizes the crowd would view it differently. They thought, oh, wow, well, let's listen to this guy. He has credibility. He understands exactly what it means. And here, for the Jews to accept word would mean Jesus Christ was unthinkable. So as soon as John talks about the fulfillment of who that capital W-O-R-D is in Jesus Christ, he's lost his audience, for it's unthinkable. And to the Greek mind now, it is totally thinkable and doable, for knowledge is what they had as their God. So there are many things today that can grab our attention and lead us off on a tangent so that we leave God out of the picture. Now, what are some of the things? It reminds me of, I used to listen to CBC or watch CBC News a fair bit, and I don't know what news to watch today, by the way. I'm having troubles finding truth anywhere. But I can tell you that if you can make a good story and repeat it long enough, it's amazing the following you got. And everybody's glued to their TVs to hear the next stupid thing that Trump says, or the good thing that Trump says. Oh, I won't go there because I'll split the church. I remember when CBC had a great praise and article and that really got people's attention. And it was about Henry Morgenthau. Remember that man? They gave him the Order of Canada. He made a big deal about it. To me, it was just an indication how our moral values in our country had declined. What do we stand for? Well, we won't bring revival of any sort, spiritual revival and renewal, through our governments and through our education systems, and you can name, because that's not part of what Christ was about. Now that I have your attention, I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. This is what John said, and he uses the word Christ. Christ is a word that you wouldn't add to the title. If you look in the Gospels, you study all of them, he always went by the title of either Jesus or the Son of Man, and there was other names for him. And then it isn't until they are in a place called Caesarea Philippi, in the north of Israel, where the question is asked, And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where they will crucify him. And he wants to have one thing settled with his 12 disciples. I want you people to really understand who I am. And so he asks them a question. And it's interesting the way he worded it, because he says, who do men say that I am? And then the answers come. Some say, the prophet Elijah, and on he goes. And then he words it this way, and who do you say that I am? And the bold Peter speaks out and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, attaboy, but you didn't figure that out yourself. God revealed that to you. And I would say the same thing for us today. He isn't just Jesus, the Son of Man. He is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God has revealed that to you. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Otherwise, we are people without hope. If he is not Christos, as it is in the Greek language, then he isn't the Messiah, as it is in the Hebrew language. This word Christ was so powerful. Yet to the Jew, it was so offensive. And Jesus Christ is revealed in John's letter. Jesus the Christ. His personality, his relationship with the Godhead, he explains in this letter. He talks about the deity of God, and Jesus, I should say. He talks about his incarnation. He talks about his human nature. And he specifically goes to his whole purpose for why he came to this earth in the first place. I could just imagine if I was in that crowd listening to what was being said, how it would affect me. I haven't been raised in this culture and understand this word Christ, and now you're proclaiming that he is the long-awaited Messiah. Now, there's a second word here that I want to focus on. The first one was word, capitals. The second word is life. And, you know, 36 times the word life is found in the Gospel of John, and there are three words in the original languages, well, at least in the Greek language, which is this is written in, for the word life. The first one is zoe, Z-O-E, and it means life with God. The life of a believer is zoe, Z-O-E. God considers this life to be eternal. It begins at birth, and it continues after death and into heaven. The only thing that terminates the life, our life on earth, is sin. We live in a fallen world. We're born into sin. We have that understanding. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that is why we surrender to God, and he brings life through forgiveness of sins. We surrender to God. And then that brings forgiveness of sins. John 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that good news today? Sometimes I think, you know what? Living forever, I don't know if that's such a great idea. Have you ever thought about that? It's not a great idea if you keep this body for sure, because this is a deteriorating factor. Eternal life. Explain to me eternal life. What does that look like? Explain to me heaven. We are so limited, aren't we? And yet we want to go there. There is something within the soul and the regenerated heart of man that's submitted to Jesus Christ that longs for something greater than the temporal tense that we live in right now. Oh, to die without the hope of having an eternal home. I've taken some of those funerals. They're so sad. Because all you have is now. And now is so short. And it's so empty. Prosperity gospel, by the way, I think is a doctrine from hell. Boy, that's strong language. I tell you, try preaching prosperity gospel to the persecuted church. It doesn't hold any water. It's like if this is all I have, and there's nothing after this, Then I want to get all I can. And even when people have all they can have, it doesn't fulfill that empty need, that cavity in a person's being that only Jesus Christ can fill. And the world searches for ways of filling that vacancy. The followers of Jesus Christ live as people of temporary existence. And life for the follower of Jesus Christ is the word zoe. And I think there's lots of things that are worse than a short life on this earth. And the biggest one, I believe, is a short life on earth and not knowing Christ. The second word for life is the word bios, B-I-O-S, and it's the duration of my time on earth. It speaks for the time period that I'm on this earth. It speaks to the things that make up my life. It speaks to my personality as a human being, my livelihood as a person, and my moral conduct, and how I exist on this planet and get along and make out in life. Bios. Our bios is rather short, but our zoe is eternal. The third word for this truth, and it is, the third word for life is the word poosh. Now, it means breath. And when you stop breathing, chances are you stop living. The Bible says, and uses this word poosh, when it describes this, the Bible says the good shepherd lays down his life, poosh, his breath, for the sheep. And all three of these words and the meanings of them, the different descriptions I give to you, those three, are all in the Gospel of John. And so you have to kind of look at it and say, okay, it means this here, and it doesn't mean this here. And so it turns you into a Bible student as you look at it. And here in the first chapter is the word zoe, life with God. And John is explaining the only meaning that, and the reason for Jesus Christ is because he came to earth that we might have relationship with him. God gave his poosh so that you could bios, all for the purpose of zoe. There you have it in one sentence. One more word, number three, the light. I don't know how many times the word light is used in this passage that I just read. I didn't count them. But throughout the whole entire book, John speaks of light. And here the word is foster, and it means a light giver. It refers to believers who shine in spiritual darkness. And Jesus is the true light that gives light to every man. You are not light until God makes you a light giver. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, you can go through your scripture, your Bible, and just do a study on the word light, and you'll find it fascinating. The other word is salt, by the way. And in this word light, we understand these words. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I think sometimes the emphasis is on the works. That they may see your good works. And all of a sudden we have this whole idea of how important our good works are. I won't rule out good works because they follow salvation, for sure. We're not saved by works, but we are saved to do works. Good works. Thank God for the good works that this fellowship is doing. I'm proud of you for carrying on and helping with the parade. And I'm proud of this church for what it does in ministering to Seton and Harwood and in this community. And I don't know all the areas of influence that this church has, but I know you have an influence. And that's a good thing. You are the light, and you're letting your light shine. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And works is not a drudgery. And that Jesus is the illuminator of your souls. You are the light of the world. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives even more effective light. Light is made to be seen. And this is the purpose of the church. This is the purpose of Faith Baptist Church, that God would elevate us so that our light would shine in the darkest places that he puts us into. Focus our existence is taken from us by the enemy of our souls when we get our focus on the wrong purpose for our existence. And I think today that most churches, and I will speak about evangelical churches, I think sometimes today it is so easy to get caught up in works and forget the purpose of it all. To shine the light. In fact, sometimes the glitz and the glamour that we put out in fabulous productions takes away from the message itself that we're trying to go and convey that we would call light. How's your light, church, personally? Have you ever influenced anybody in the way for Jesus Christ? Starting with your family, you don't become a missionary by going across a body of ocean or flying to another land. It starts right in your home, doesn't it? What influences are you in the area of light? And I wrote this down, please God, remind us why Faith Baptist Church exists. Help us to be light. Faith Baptist Church, can you say amen to that? And I believe as we take that upon ourselves and ask God, what will you have me do? How can my light be effective in this dark world that I live in? I've talked enough about the blackness, Lord. Help me to be the light. And we certainly know the world that we live in. As I was going through this, I happened to get an email. I was preparing my message, and then I got this email from Bob Cron, our district superintendent. And I had written a letter to Bob asking for some help with some funds for the ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. And in particular, the ministry to the Seton School and to Harwood School with the lunch program. And for those of you that might not know this, every Tuesday, kids from Seton walk from the school, come into the basement, and they have a hot dog lunch usually, and there's a devotional that's given. And we have speakers from, we used to have a youth pastor here, and he'd speak to these kids. Now we don't have a youth pastor, so we've asked the youth pastors and workers from Young Life to give a devotional at this. It has to be short because kids' attention is short. And they have to get back to class. And the most important to them, thing to them is the hot dog. The most important thing to us is the words of truth that are spoken into their lives. And we've been given an open door. And some of these ministries to Seton has gone on for 8 years. At Harwood for their breakfast program for 15 years. And the inroads that this church, you dear senior people, and are you still making into the lives of teachers and so forth. And I've got to witness that and see that. And I say, God bless you. Keep going. So when I heard that the North American Baptist had sold a care home down in White Rock and some of the funds would be used for evangelistic outreach ministries, I said, how about us? So I wrote a letter together with Anne May and Sheila. And I tried to explain to them, for me as an outsider looking in, how important this ministry is. It's one of the significant things that we're doing as a church. And I wrote the letter. And then today I made a list of all the things that Anne May and Sheila told me that was needed for this church in order to operate. A bread slicer for one. And other things, and I won't give you the list. It's not important. And it came to $9,500. And so I sent it. And here's what I got back. Hi, Larry. The BCBA Executive Council has approved your request for funding as you reach your community for Christ. He said, Christ. We are all excited to see how you have a passion to reach your neighbors and have a plan to help you, and we have a plan to help you to do that. I will instruct our treasurer to send you a check for $9,500. To cover your request. We exist for a purpose, church. When we lose our purpose, the doors could be closed because we're not making any difference anyhow. And then this morning, I was looking for something on the computer regarding our Israel trip. And I saw that I had a new email from our granddaughter, Bryn. Bryn has decided that she wanted to go back to Miller College of the Bible, finish what she had started after a season of wayward living, and she was in trouble. She came to this little church, sat here, and you embraced her. You found out through some of the stories I told that she had actually pawned her guitar off, hadn't pawned it off, they stole it from her. And music was such a big part of it. And through the whole process, the church rallied together and you took up an offering and you didn't follow proper protocol in doing so. And you gave her the money and I went and bought her a guitar. We took a video of her opening it up, her guitar case at Miller College. Do you remember that? And some of you have been praying. Some of you have been asking, how's she doing? Someone said, we're praying for wayward kids. Yeah. So this letter today. Thank you for your prayers of support and financial support. And her funds are slowly coming in for her trip because she's going on a missions trip to Romania. And my sensible way of thinking is, Bryn, you shouldn't go to Romania because you need the money to go back to school and you haven't even paid for your last year. You know, sometimes my practical ways get in the ways of what God wants to do. And then she writes this, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but it's worthy of reading. And I'm going to put out some copies, a condensed version of this letter, because some of you are praying and giving. We're going to Romania with Greater Europe Mission. And the reason for ministering to Europe is because it was once the place of reform. And since has continued to influence the world. As it is so well connected in and among the continents. But they have left God behind. And they've moved forward towards rationalism, humanism, and postmodernism. And Greater European Mission focuses on church planting and discipleship. And just last week, I was able to Skype the pastor who I'll be working with in Romania, and he told us about our mission and the discipleship program that these kids will be a part of. In my research about the area of Romania where we will be going, the way the age groups interact with each other sounded oddly familiar. The young people love their phones, and they don't value family or church. Middle-aged adults work very hard, and in fact, many have left their families to get good-paying jobs outside of their home cities. And the older generation has wisdom and strong values, strong family values, so there's a big clash between them and the young people in the country. And I am eager to see how different we are yet. I am eager to see how different we are yet, how much we will be able to relate to the bigger matters. It seems like this part of the world is dark. And this is what caught my attention. But I was dark once too. And now, in Christ, I am perfected in God's love. And I was strongly reminded of this today when reading 1 John 1:5, which says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We are in Christ and in God, and there is no darkness at all, and there has been such a transformation that we can be called the children of light. And then she adds Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. And that is the reason I praise God today. Well, church, thank you for having an influence in her life. Thank you for caring. Thank you for giving. Thanks for praying. That's just one person. Don't think because we have a bit of gray hair on our heads and our skin's nice and flush as it used to be that we still can't be affected with the gospel and that we can't be a bright light shining, because the world needs us. Our kids need us. Our grandchildren need us. And we're part of that light. That's why we exist. Three words that I've given you today with powerful meaning: word, life, and light. Three words that perfectly describe Jesus Christ, and without them we don't know him as Jesus Christ. But he doesn't stop there. He came to this earth for a purpose. The text says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that literally means he pitched his tent with us. He tabernacled, is the word, with us. And he made a temporary dwelling, and at the proper time he went home with the Father. And our lives are just temporary tents here on this earth as well. And someday we get to go home to be with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Jesus came from the Father to this earth to live among us, but he came full of grace and truth. And that's what John adds. And the grace and truth are two of the most powerful words in all of Scripture. And I trust that as we go through this Gospel of John, that grace and truth, which is a theme throughout the book, will become a greater reality to all of us. When you personally receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you experience grace. G-R-A-C-E. Someone has put acrostic together that is quite helpful. God's riches at Christ's expense. I like it. Jesus, full of grace and truth, desires to be our Savior. He dwells. He longs to dwell in you. He longs to give you purpose. And he longs to give you life. And he longs for you to let your light shine. How are we doing? Well, you've heard the truth. Now it's the Holy Spirit that can apply it to your hearts and lives. If it fits today, don't neglect such a great truth. In fact, let's make a physical application of this great truth. Let's celebrate the Lord's table today. Those that are helping me, if you would come forward at this time. This representation fits so well with what God asked us to do in the application of the truths that I just talked about. It's a reminder that we live in a fallen world, and our purpose for our existence in this place is to let our light shine. And we're asked to do this as often as we meet in remembrance of him. And it's not in the how many times we do this that really is the significance of it all. For we can repeat things and have them be meaningless, can't we? I find that when I come to the Lord's table, I need to examine my own heart and life. And the things that I need to get right with God have to be made right before I indulge in this here. And so I ask you, church, to do the same. So would you bow your heads and just ask, Lord, show me if there is some evil way in me. Is there some sin I need to confess? Is there some people I need to make things right with? Oh, God, reveal it to me.